We're continuing our series on the topic of the Holy Good Ghost, the Holy Spirit. I hope you've had a great week this last week, you know, trying to get into the flow of what the Holy Spirit's doing here on this earth. And we're going to look at that a little bit today. And then as we continue on, we'll go a little bit more and more. So getting to know the Holy Spirit is very important. Remember last week, we started with the scripture that talks about the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And that word fellowship is the word koinonia, and it's talking about close proximity and, you know, kind of having real intimate fellowship. And it's important that we get to know the Holy Spirit that way. I've shared this before, but, you know, it's hard to make, I don't want to make up stuff, so it's really truth. When I was in Bible school, I wanted to get to know the Holy Spirit better. I've been saved only a month or two, and when I started Bible school, and then after a while of being in Bible school, they had some classes on the Holy Spirit, who the Holy Spirit was and how to be led by the Spirit and things like this. And, you know, and I was really interested in that. But in the process of that, you know, I also kind of wanted to find a girlfriend. Anybody want to find a girlfriend, boys? Amen. You know, I wanted to find a girlfriend because, you know, I used to be a heathen, you know, and I quit dating because I didn't know how to date right. You know what I'm saying? So after I got saved and was into God a little bit, I felt I was ready. I was ready to go out and, you know, start to charm somebody and, you know, try to get them to marry me if I could. And what happened is that the next, you know, so I thought about what I wanted in a woman. And, you know, the Bible school, I mean, what the teacher said, it didn't meet every criteria. But for the most part, the fellowship and the things that I wanted to know, when they started to talk about the Holy Spirit, there were some things there that I knew I needed to get to know. And so I decided I'm not ready to date yet. You know what I mean? Because I really, you know, how many knows that, you know, I don't mean by this, but women can be a little confusing. You know what I'm saying? And I knew that the last thing I needed at that time in my life was to be confused. So I kept my emotions in check because, you know, your emotions get in there and they mess with you a little bit. So I decided to get to know the Holy Spirit instead, and I'm glad I did, because that was life-changing, how important it is to get to know the third person of the Trinity and what all that means. So hopefully this should be a refresher for some of the things that you probably only have learned, you know, in church and through the Word of God. But, you know, something that happens in our life, and we're going to look at this in the Gospels of John today, but have you ever had someone die and you just wish you could have one more conversation with them? Just another conversation, you know? And I'm not talking about, something demonic like going to a medium and trying to talk to your dead dad or dead mother or grandma or whatever the case be, because, you know, that's demonic, that's not of God. And, you know, Christians, we need to stay away from that. You know, even Google and Siri knows that that's not good. You know what I'm saying? Hey, Google, what's the Bible say about mediums? Well, pull up a couple of scriptures. You just read them for yourself. You know what I'm saying? So we don't need to go around trying to talk to dead people. But, you know, God had a plan for his people to carry on the mission of Jesus Christ. And that's what had to happen. You know, Jesus had lived and walked and talked and taught and just spent time with his disciples for a little over 3 years. Now all of a sudden he just drops the bomb and said, hey, I'm leaving. What would you feel like? Kind of tough. I mean, especially knowing the importance of the gospel and the kingdom of God, and, you know, and the disciples, you know, they were going that kind of through that kind of situation in their life because Jesus was leaving and they had to keep on going. And that's what we have to do when, you know, when somebody leaves, you know, we just have to keep on going. We just can't stop. But see, Jesus had a way of still being with them. And that's what we're going to look at today. He was going to send the Holy Spirit to take his place. And the Holy Spirit, it says, will be with them forever. And that's something, a benefit that you and I can have in our life, is the fact that the Holy Spirit can be with you and I forever. And that's an awesome thing. And we should really pursue and endeavor to get into that place where we start to understand the flow of the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit's wanting to do on this earth right now. Because the Holy Spirit lives inside each and every believer. When we're born again, the Spirit of God comes to live inside of us. And then we know there's another blessing. You know, Acts, in the book of Acts chapter 1, it talks about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit can do, you know, when we yield to the baptism and see the power of God happen in our life. But before we get to that, that's going to be later on in the series. You know, John 14, verse 16 to 18, it says, and this is Jesus talking, he said, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the unction of the Holy Spirit to be in my life today here. Lord, I just want to speak the words that you want me to say. Lord, I yield to the gift you put inside of me. I use it for your glory. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to my lips, and we bind up Satan and all the lies that he tries to bring in, and we thank you so much. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, is here today revealing the things that we each need to know in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so this is talking about another helper. Another helper. How many knows we need help sometimes? You know what I'm saying? We all need help. You know, no matter who you are, what you're, where you're at, or what, how good it is that you are in the things of God, we all still need help. And that word another there is the Greek word allos, which means one of the same kind. Because the Trinity is one, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, okay? So when Jesus left, he sent someone just like him, not somebody different. Even though we recognize him as a different, shall we say, the third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit, you know, but they all have the same mind and everything they want to do. So the Holy Spirit is equal to Jesus. Now, sometimes people don't give the Holy Spirit much credit. Like we shared a little bit last week, just throwing it out there, you know, some of the symbols of the Holy Spirit, you know, he's a dove, he's fire, you know, all these things that aren't people, and so they think he's a thing. The Holy Spirit is not a thing. The Holy Spirit is a person, and we need to recognize him as such. Now, have you ever felt when in a situation, maybe you was meeting somebody, and they just kind of looked past you? You know what I mean? They didn't recognize you. It's kind of insulting, isn't it? A little bit when somebody doesn't recognize you or don't even acknowledge your existence. And see, that's what sometimes you and I do to the Holy Spirit. You know, we grieve him a little bit because we don't acknowledge his existence working in our life today. And we need to do that so we can better start to understand him and what he wants to do. So, although the Holy Spirit is a different person, this means that he's the same kind of comforter. He has the same divine nature and the same purpose. So when Jesus, you know, I mean, most of us would say, I mean, I'd love to meet Jesus, you know, go back in time and hang out with Jesus a little bit. I mean, what would that be like? It'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it? You know, and most of us would probably say, yeah, if Jesus could just be in my situation all the time, if I could just spend all my time with Jesus, life would be so much better. And that might be true to some degree. But here it says, but see, Jesus, let's say Jesus, you know, was in La Vella. You know, I'm a La Vella boy, you know. So let's say Jesus is over in La Vella. Well, we're in Albia. Could we feel his presence? I mean, that's 8 or 9 miles away. Could we feel that closeness and that intimacy if he's all the way over there? I don't think so. So that's why it was good for Jesus to leave and send the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit's omnipresent means he can be everywhere at once. So that same Spirit that anointed Jesus is anointing you and I. And he can be with everybody on the face of this earth all at the same time. Now don't try to figure this out with your head. You know what I'm saying? That's one of those things that just go, how does that work? I don't know how it works, but it works. It works. It's one of those things we just have to take by faith. And he's called the Spirit of Truth. Now, truth, if you look up truth, what it means unveiled reality. See, there's realities in this world. There's the reality of, you know, what the world system and how our political government works. I mean, it started off good, but I'm going to lie to you, it's pretty corrupt at this time for the most part. You know, all the world's system is corrupt. It's been corrupted by the god of this world. Now, something I want us to think about, and this is just a side thought, but if you look in the Old Testament, there was a little bit of information about the devil, wasn't there? But there wasn't a whole lot. But what happened when Jesus came? The veil was taken back. And now we can really see the spiritual conflict that's going on here on this planet between the enemies of God, which is Satan and his fallen demons, and then we got God, and then we got the church, and all that stands for. So there's more information on the devil. It was progressive revelation so that God wants you and I to understand what's really going on down here. We're in a war, we're in a battle, and the battle is against the enemy, the devil, and that we need to use the armor of God and we need to be led by the Spirit to be able to understand how we use these spiritual weapons. So it's very important. You know, that what I see is the idea of what we need to understand, because the Holy Spirit reveals to us the reality of the Word. You know, a lot of people think they can reinvent themselves, and we try, especially this time of year. It's the first of the year. Hopefully you've had some, you know, ideas that you wanted to do in your life, how to make yourself better. You know, how maybe you stop eating something or start eating something different, and or maybe start to exercise or start to be a nicer person. All these things. We want to reinvent ourselves. But the truth is, you know, we need the Word of God. It's the Word of God that changes things. There's power in the Word of God. And that's why we've got to get into the Word of God. We've got to allow the Word of God to permeate in our life. And what happens then is the Holy Spirit brings truth to us through the Word of God to reveal it to us, what we need at this time. You know, I know something God showed me, and I dropped the bomb a little bit during the offering there a few weeks ago, but God really had me looking at Malachi chapter 1. I challenge you to read that a little bit. It talks about giving God our best, and it really slaps you just upside the head. You know, because people were bringing God their leftovers. They were bringing God sheep that were, you know, sick or wounded, and they was offering that to God because they thought, oh, well, God will take that. But then to the governor, they was giving their best. You know, I don't mess with the IRS, but I do know God gets my best over the IRS. You know what I'm saying? You know, when it comes to who's the most important, it's God. It's not this world system. And it's important that we understand the concept that when we give God our best, then He starts to give us His best, and that'll help us get better into the flow of the Word and the Holy Ghost. So he's talking about the helper here, and that Greek word is parakletos. Something like that. It means to call to one side. And this word originated from a court trial. You know, when somebody is being, you know, I've never been, in a court trial, I guess, where I was up on the stand or people were accusing me of something. You know, I've been accused of a few things, but never had to go to a court of law. But what this is talking about in the old ancient Greek is that, let's say somebody brought an accusation against you. So you're up there in front of everybody, and you're kind of on the spot, and they're grilling you, they're pounding you, they're trying to push you and trying to get answers out of you, and you get a little stressed out because you get to the place where I cannot defend myself anymore. You can look out into the crowd, and you find somebody, and you call upon that person, and they come up, and they become your defender. They become the person in your life that is going to make sure that you win. They're going to fight for you. They're on your side. And that's what this word, parakletos, is talking about, the Holy Spirit. He has come into our life, and He's our advocate. He's the one that wants to see us win. He wants to see us set free. And when we call Him out, He comes up to help plead our case. So He's the one who, the comforter is the one who comes to give solace, and He is called to stand by a person in a time of great difficulty. He counsels, He pleads, He entreats, He exhorts, and strengthens so that a person can gain victory over his opponents. Okay. Now we know that we're against the accuser of the brethren. That's Satan, right? He's always bringing lies and accusations against you. You know, he's trying to destroy your life. He's trying to make people think bad about you. You know, he's trying to bring accusations and these words that come against you, telling lies about you. And so sometimes we get in situations in our life when we feel like it's really difficult, like it's really hard. You know what I'm saying? Maybe things are just ain't going our way, and we feel all alone. The Holy Spirit's just one cry away. Amen. Run cry away.
Thank you.
Where we call the Holy Spirit to come in and to be on our side, to help fight our battle with us. See, we never have to be alone. If you're a Christian and the Spirit of God, He's living inside of you. Now, granted, I know that sometimes we may not feel Him all the time. You know, when we worship God here, hopefully you feel the presence of the Lord. And I know that's a fact. But sometimes when we leave and go through those double doors, sometimes we feel like we're by ourselves, don't we? Have you ever been like that? You go home and you're in a bad situation. Maybe you're not getting along with somebody. Maybe, you know, work situation's kind of tough. But I'm here to tell you that the Holy Ghost is still with you.
Amen.
And there's things that we need to learn how to do to activate Him in our life so that we know that we're never alone in this situation. He can be with us every step of the way. And it's important that we understand that as believers because, as I said earlier, we are in a war down here. Things are going on and, you know, there's things going on that maybe you and I can't handle. I don't know about you, I have witnessed the devil in some situations and God has given me some visions and things, but primarily our opponent is invisible, right? He's invisible. We see him manifesting himself through different things, through maybe people sometimes, you know, but nevertheless, you know, we need to fight a spiritual being with spiritual weapons, and the Holy Spirit is the one that helps us to be able to use those weapons properly. Have you ever, you know, how about you, but, you know, we got a pistol several years ago, and I've been around hunting, you know, my whole life as a kid. I don't hunt anymore. I live about a block from a grocery store, you know what I'm saying? So there ain't no sense in me going out there and looking through the woods, you know, when I can just walk up the street and get what I want. But, you know, when we first got a pistol, I respect weapons. I respect a lot of things. I respect the ocean because I can't swim as good as I think I should. I respect mountains because I climb them and I know that one false step and you can go down that hill like crazy, you know. And I respect guns. And I respect especially a pistol because I'd never been around one much as a kid. We used rifles and shotguns and things like that. So, you know, when we first got the pistol, it just felt a little awkward getting to know how to use that weapon, you know, and understand how it works. Well, we got a little more used to it and things like this, and you know, but it just took a little bit of experience. And see, it's like that with the Holy Spirit, getting some experience with Him to understand. It's kind of new. I believe it is. It's kind of new for some of us, maybe all of us. You know, the fact of getting to know God in that way. It says God is invisible also. But I do know this, how the Holy Spirit, we're going to go into the way that He speaks of us later on. But getting to know that voice of the Spirit so that we can start to win and start to walk in that victory that Jesus Christ, you know, we already won. But I tell you what, some people hide it real well. You know what I'm saying? They don't look like they won. They look like they're getting the tar beat out of them. That's because they don't know how to use the Word of God and they don't know how to flow with the Spirit. We need to learn how to flow with Him, and that's important. And so, and what this is talking about here too, he mentioned, you know, when Jesus left, you know, you felt like an orphan. You know, Jesus says He doesn't want you to feel like an orphan. I know sometimes, you know, in life, maybe you and I can feel that way. You know, especially if, you know, mom and dad's both gone and, you know, they had the answers for a lot of things and now they're not here no more. And maybe some people, as they grew up in life, maybe they felt like their parents were not there for them, didn't have that closeness. And so they felt like an orphan. You can feel like an orphan and still be in a family. I've watched it. I've witnessed it. I've even felt it myself sometimes. You know, but the idea of Jesus, what he said, it is like Jesus himself is with us, is when we receive the Holy Spirit. And see, the world cannot receive him. See, the world doesn't understand the things of the Spirit of God, doesn't understand the Bible. I mean, I remember when I first started to read the Bible and I wasn't born again, I'll tell you what, couldn't understand it. I'm not, you know, I understand a whole lot better now that I'm born again because the Bible says you got to be born again to perceive the kingdom of God. The Bible's about the kingdom of God and about the things of God. and how the Holy Spirit works. So we need to understand that. So what we're going to look at just briefly, I'm going to look on the orphan side of it, the idea of sonship versus the orphan spirit. You know, when you feel like you're a son, when you're really, you know, in that family, you know, and then you have confidence that you can go to dear old dad. Amen. You can go to, like, when I used to go to my parents' house, you know, and I was a grown kid, grown man or whatever, kid still sometimes, but, you know, I didn't even have to knock. I just went on in. Well, I was a son. That's my old home. That's where I go. But see, if you don't have that confidence that you've been accepted by that family, well, then that takes us over into the other realm, the idea of feeling like an orphan. And that's what the Satan wants to do to you. He wants you to feel like an orphan. See, orphans have the idea that they're all alone, because orphan has like a sense of abandonment or they're alone or feel isolation. You know, we feel isolated and we don't feel that anybody's there for us. And sometimes, you know, you can be a Christian. You could even maybe come into this church and you feel like an orphan. You know, it's nothing, you know, maybe we've done wrong, although we don't do everything perfect. I do know that. But it's the idea that you've isolated yourself. You've listened to the lie, and now the lie is the truth, and you pull back, and you stay off on your own thing, and then you're easy prey for the devil to play with your mind, because you don't have other believers in your life. And that's why it's excellent to come here and, you know, in this kind of atmosphere and to receive the Word of God, but, you know, also to come like on our Wednesday night studies and get in there and get with people and start to learn about God with each other and share our needs with each other. So you don't feel like you're alone, you know, and because that's what Satan wants you to do. See, the orphan spirit sometimes can operate out of insecurity and jealousy. You know, I know in my life that when I was insecure, I was more apt to do something stupid. You know what I mean? When I felt insecure about myself, I tried to overcompensate. And that's usually what landed me in some problems in my life. And when you have an orphan spirit, you can feel jealous about somebody else. That, well, look what they got, and I don't have that. And so then you start doubting your loving Heavenly Father. And in the natural, you doubt your family, you know, that they're, you know, maybe not there for you, you know, and everything that entails. So that's one way the orphan spirit gets us. And another thing about the orphan spirit, it feels like it always has to prove something. To be honest, some of the people that are, you wouldn't think so, but some of the people who are, we would consider maybe great leaders, or people who have a lot of things in this world, they struggle with acceptance. And it becomes a sort of having to go out and prove themselves all the time. So in that effort, it helps them to maybe accomplish things that we would consider great, but yet deep inside they cannot celebrate none of that victory. Because they always have to prove themselves. They can't just reside to the fact that they've been accepted. And that's a hard place to be. Also, the orphan spirit always feels like it has to earn love, especially the Father's love. You know, we always feel that we have to go out and earn love and prove that love. And we wanna please our Father, because without that, you know, and it's sad that, you know, some fathers and men, they make the mistake that they don't know how to give the Father blessing on their children. Because we need to give that fatherly blessing on our children, the blessing of sonship or daughtership. You know, when I say sonship, ladies, you know what I'm talking about. But it talks about that blessing that we impart to our children. And many children have been robbed of that, because a lot of the dads don't know how to do that, because somebody didn't do it for them. And their idea of manhood is more in the vision or the image of the world system of what it means to be a man, instead of what God says in His Word, what it means to be a man. And so, you know, we need to make sure that we understand that, because the reason why the Holy Spirit came is so that we did not have to experience this, you know, in the sense of maybe your earthly father, God bless them, maybe they're not here no more. but maybe they did not impart this stuff to you. I'm here to tell you the Holy Ghost can do that. The Spirit of God can do that and get you back so, you know, you don't have that orphan spirit. It'll bring you to the place of sonship in your life, you know, where you feel accepted and you feel, you know, that you're a part of something, because everybody wants that, I believe, deep down inside. So what the orphan spirit does, it operates that by a works righteousness mentality. You know, it's always having to prove itself, always having to one-up the other person, always, and, you know, this is somebody that tries to fix it. Now, the other side of the orphan spirit, you know, some people just get devastated, and they pull back, and they just pull the covers over their head. You know what I mean? So it can go both ways. So we want to make sure that we understand that when the Holy Spirit came, that Comforter, man, He's going to be there to set us free. He's with us. He's on our side. You know, the Spirit of God can be everywhere at once. And that's important that we get that. Okay, next passage I want to look at is John 16:7. I don't know about you, but I feel like I need an advantage every now and then. You know what I mean? It says here, "But I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come. But if I go, I will send Him to you." So here Jesus is trying to just lay it out a little bit more. The idea that you and I need an advantage. We need an advantage in life. As I mentioned earlier, I believe, you know, God knew that we needed help to complete His mission. I don't know about you, but if you really sit back and look at this plan, it's really crazy, you know. In some ways, you know that God, you know, I know what I'm like without Jesus, you know what I mean? I know what I'm like, and I know what it's like in life, you know, and sometimes I don't follow through with what I say I'm going to do. Well, here God was taking Jesus out of the picture after 3 years, and then He's going to turn these guys loose. Hey, go build my kingdom. You know what I mean? Excuse me. And when my voice just went there a minute ago, didn't it? Now it's time to sing that song, that good song we like. But, you know, He knew we needed help to fulfill that mission, and God wants it done. Because, you know, as I said, if Jesus was, you know, 8 miles away and we couldn't be in His presence, because we all know what's it like in the presence of the Lord. What's there? Fullness of joy. And we need that. So it's an advantage, you know, that the Holy Spirit came. As I mentioned, He's omnipresent. And the Holy Spirit was already at work here on the earth. He was doing things. But yet, a little bit later, like I said, the day of Pentecost would come, and we're going to look at that a little later. Now, that word advantage, if you look it up, it's kind of different. You know, it does mean, you know, to have, you know, an advantage over something, but it also means to bring together in one place, bring together for the benefit of another. You know, and that's just kind of interesting, you know, how all that comes to play. The idea of to me, is the unity that the presence of God or the Spirit of God can bring. See, the Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and you'd be surprised. You know, we'll be somewhere and we're talking, and, you know, especially sometimes about some things that I've been preaching, and somebody will say, well, so-and-so and so-and-so else and so-and-so else, they preach the same thing. Well, what's that? Well, that's the Spirit of God. That's the Holy Spirit who wants to unify us with one message. See, the Holy Spirit doesn't, you know, when the disciples, you know, they had, you know, Judas, you know, hung himself, so there was 11, then they replaced him. And then He was going to send these 12 guys out. Well, you know, they can't have 12 different messages, can they? What kind of church would that be? Well, probably the kind of church we've got in the world today, probably. But anyway, that's a different story in itself. But primarily, we need to be, you know, if we're listening to the Spirit of God and we're following what the Spirit of God says, then our message is united in what we see that, you know, God is trying to do, you know, here on this earth. So He's trying to get us into the same flow. Now, I don't know if that's a common word you're used to, the flow of the Holy Spirit. You know what it means to flow with Him? You know, it's the idea or concept when you feel the Spirit of God leading you to do something or to say something, and you start to flow with that. Now, what happens is when you step into that flow, then things start to go. You know what I mean? But you got to step into that flow, just like a mighty river. You know, you can stand on the bank and watch that pretty water run by all day, but that ain't no fun. You have to get out into the river of God's Spirit, then you start to flow with Him. And you start to allow Him to lead you, and then you start to see the way that things, you know, need to start happening and what He wants to do. So the Holy Spirit, as well as get into the flow, that word advantage is talking about, the Holy Spirit wants to put you into a favorable position. A favorable position. He wants to put you in that place as the Paracletos, the advocate, the word that you're going to win, okay? But we need to follow Him to be in that place. Okay. Now, to do that, we need to embrace the Spirit. Okay. There's different ways to embrace the Spirit. You know, granted, the Holy Spirit, you can't feel, you know, go like this. You wouldn't feel Him. But to embrace Him means to grab a hold and to get into His flow. And there's ways you can do that. You know, just throwing a few things out. You know, getting into worship a little bit at your house. You know, we do it here. You know, do it at home. I mean, we have the technology now where we can all sound good. You know what I'm saying? You know, there's enough. You can turn that YouTube stuff really loud. And you sound beautiful. You know, like an angel. You know, so there's doing that. And there's pulling aside and, you know, meditating on the Word and praying and, you know, dancing before the Lord. You know, maybe some, has anybody not danced before the Lord yet? Anybody? Everybody has here? You know, lying's a sin. You know that, don't you? But you can dance before the Lord. We had something crazy happen when we went over to Greece for 6 months after we quit our jobs, and we felt God was leading us to go over there. And we went over there, and the missionary, I've shared this before, but he had to go renew his visa, so he had to leave the country. So he left us there, you know, to kind of at his house, which is a lot better than our little apartment with the cockroaches. The cockroaches missed us, you know, then when they left. But anyway, they were still there when we got back. But so I had some worship music on, and in the Greek houses there didn't have any glass windows or nothing. They just had these shutters that you could open up. Well, ours were open, and I was in the living room just dancing before the Lord, and y'all see me clap, right? So you know how my dancing looks. Just imagine that. It's like clapping on steroids, you know. And anyway, I'm dancing along. All of a sudden, I look, and here's the landlord just looking right at me through that window. You know, they're kind of snoopy. He knew that Wayne and Adrian had left and wanted to know what's going on in there. You know, that was pretty wild. But, you know, just I was free. I was free in the Lord just to worship God in that way. You know, and dancing is in the Bible. Granted, it's Old Testament, some of it, but, you know, what the heck, we can still dance a little before the Lord. You know, I encourage you to, you know, get alone with God and do it because, you know, it is God's will for us to learn how to flow with the Holy Spirit. And you're not going to do it unless you try. You can just sit there and just wait, like Denise talked about the farmer not planting any seed, expecting something to grow. Well, you can just sit there and not participate with the Holy Spirit and think it's going to happen, but it usually will not. You know, you're going to have to participate. You're going to have to step out. You know, it's kind of like when we worship, you know, when you, you know, you feel maybe uncomfortable. And, you know, you remember that first time you kind of raised your hands? You know, I remember first, I'm a pretty mellow guy. I'm more of a swear. I raise my hands. But, you know, you remember that first time you kind of at church, you got your hands up this far. Man, you think you're in heaven. Oh, wow, look at me. I got my hands up. Well, then you start to grow a little bit more. Ooh. Thank you, Father. Now, you don't have to raise your hands if you don't want to, but you should. Because that's a Bible thing. Surrender to God. God, here I am. I surrender. Amen?
Amen.
And get to that place, and that happens when you stop looking to the left and you stop looking to the right and you start looking up to Him. I don't care what other people think. All I care is what my Father thinks. And that frees up us to really get into flow. So, you know, the Holy Spirit has a way of doing things, and we need to learn His flow. Now we're going to jump into our last passage here. It talks about a little bit of the ministry of the Holy Spirit on earth now, and we need to know this. John chapter 16, 8 to 13 says, "And he, when he comes," talking about the Holy Spirit, "will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me, and concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me, and concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come." So here we see a little bit of the flow of the Holy Ghost, what he's doing on the planet right now. And this is just briefly, this is not everything, but this is kind of what it says when Jesus sent him. This is some of his primary things that he does. First thing he does, he brings conviction, not condemnation, because there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But what he does, conviction, it exposes as guilty or to show someone his sin and summon them to repentance. You know, we've all had that conviction. And, you know, if we do something wrong, and we all do, don't we? We need to feel that conviction. If we don't feel that conviction after we've done something wrong, then we need to start wondering what's wrong. What have we done? We've hardened our heart. So we need to be careful of that, and then we just need to repent, but that's another deal. So when God reveals our sin and brings conviction, it is not to put us down, but to give us an opportunity to get free. See, one thing about conviction, different people respond to that now, you know, in different ways. And it will either lead to repentance or a hardening of the heart. Like the old saying, you've heard it before, the same sun that melts the snow hardens the clay, right? You put some snow out there and some clay, that sun starts to beat down, well, that snow's going to melt. But it's also going to make that clay hard. What's the difference is what the heart's like. You know, are we to the place that we can be bendable and we can allow God to melt that hardness in our life? Or are we to the place that we're just going to resist and, you know, and say, God, you know, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to repent. I want to do my thing whenever I want. And so then our heart gets hardened. Well, when we get a hardened heart, that's when we get in trouble. Because then, believe me, it's hard to feel the leading of the Spirit when we have a hardened heart. And that's a dangerous place to be. And we don't need to get there. And there's ways you can melt your heart. Mainly get on your knees and repent and ask God to soften your heart. Those are some of the best prayers. If you don't know how to do something, just tell God, God, I don't know how to do this. Would you help me do this? Teach me. God, I know there's something not right here, but what is it? I don't know. What do I need to do? How do I need to get rid of this? What's going on, you know? And he'll lead you. So we need to understand that leading as a person. So it depends on the response of the person. So I believe that every response that you and I need to have to God is yes. Yes and amen. You know what I'm saying? Yes and amen. Get rid of it. Get on with God. See, it's a lot better to let the Holy Spirit convict people of their sin rather than us having to try to convince them. You know, maybe you're trying to win your family and your friends. If not, you should be. And maybe they're not responding. Well, maybe you're trying to push it. Don't, you know, you can't push it. But maybe you need to spend a little more time praying that the Holy Spirit convicts them. Amen. Convicts them of their sin. And when they feel convicted, well then, you're there with the Holy Spirit living inside you to maybe give them a way out. Well, I went through that. You know, when I was first, you know, coming to God, here's what I had to do. I just had to repent and I just had to trust God. Is that true or is that a lie? That's true, ain't it? You're not lying. Just tell them the truth. I had to learn this. So I encourage you to don't resist it. You know, let God have his way and just to see where it takes you. So the idea of sin, righteousness, and judgment. So sin, the major sin, is not believing in Jesus, right? That's the major sin in life. People struggle with is not believing in Jesus, and it all boils down to that unbelief, you know. And any sin is rebellion to God. And we need to get rid of it. Yeah, do we still sin? Yes, we do still sin. But our attitude should not be that we want to stay in our sin. Our attitude is that God, reveal my sin, I repent, and I give it over to you. See, the Holy Spirit always points to Jesus, and this is the crux of the gospel. Is like, I believe I mentioned last week, we have to figure out who Jesus is to us. Who is Jesus to you? You know, is he just a person? Was he a teacher? Was he an all right good guy and showed us how to live? Or is he the Son of God? And did he die for our sins and we surrender him? And that's the message that we need to preach. And we need to have that Jesus question right, or every other question we will answer will be wrong. Next, he talks about after sin, then he would go to righteousness. Because Jesus is going to the Father. You know, we got the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And Jesus has that right standing. And you and I can only have right standing with the Father through Jesus Christ. There's nothing you can do. Some of you are really good at a lot of things. I've watched you and I very admire you. But I do know this, you're not good enough for God without Jesus. There ain't nobody. None of us are good enough for God. That's why Jesus came. And so that's what the Holy Spirit tries to bring out. So people understand that, you know, that right standing that we have. Because we can only have right standing with the Father through Jesus. And Christ's righteousness is the standard of measure by which everything else is judged, okay? You know, everything has to have a standard by which it's judged, okay? And it's the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. So when you stand before God, and you stand there alone, well, God is judging you by the standard of Jesus. Are you good enough? No. Well, if we come to faith, and we understand that we are in Christ, now when God judges us, he judges us by the fact that we are part of the family of God, so that standard of righteousness is in us. Why? Because the Bible says it's been put into our account. Now, have you ever written a bad check before? Why? What happened? There was not enough in your account, so it bounced. You didn't have enough assets. And that's a reality. But in Christ, there's always enough in our account. It'll never bounce. Never bounce. Because Jesus Christ put it there. And we need to understand that it's there to always draw upon, okay? So it's by that measurement, okay? Now, lastly, we're going into judgment. Satan has been judged. The Bible says that. Hell was created for the devil. You know, hell was not created for mankind, but men do go there because they reject the first point of Jesus. They reject him. It's not because they do drugs or because they drink alcohol or because they have sex out of marriage or all these things. It's because they've rejected Jesus Christ, the major sin. And the Bible also talks about sinning willfully, but that's kind of talking about Christians who are not ready to give up their sin. And that'll get you in trouble too, but that's a different deal. We ain't going to go into that today. I'm going to try to keep it a little positive here. Okay, so then as we're wrapping this up, Jesus said there's more. But the disciples were on overload, revelation overload. Have you ever had that? I mean, I'll be honest, when I first started to get into this thing, you know, I looked at this thing. I mean, look at that. Man, there's a lot of stuff in there. That's a big book. Where do you start? What do you do? Man, there's a lot of stuff in there. Especially if you count the maps, right? It's all this stuff in there. So what do? Well, just like you eat an elephant, one bite at a time, right? That's what they say. That's how you eat an elephant, one bite at a time. Same way you get into the Word of God, one bite at a time, and just keep eating. So the fact that Jesus was leaving, I mean, one thing I hate, I know I'm getting a little long here, I'm sorry, but I hate it when people tell me things I have to remember to do, but they don't write it down for me. You know, they'll tell me, well, you got to do this and that, and then you do this and you do that, and I'm just sitting there going, why? I don't, you know. It's just kind of overload. I can't remember all that. But see, Jesus says, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, and he's going to bring it to your remembrance. I'm going to teach you the things of God. You know, so that's what we need to remember, that he's with us, because the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. So I want us to think about this week. is that the life with the Holy Ghost. You know, doing life with the Holy Ghost is a whole lot better than doing life without the Holy Ghost. And I can testify to that. And that's a truth, and that's a reality. Amen? So I want us to, you know, this week maybe meditate on these scriptures, ask God to reveal himself to you through God the Holy Spirit, and allow him to lead you and to follow his leading. And the best way we do that is, you know, get into the Word of God too. You know, we follow God's Word, and we start to live for him and glorify him. And then I'll tell you what, it's a beautiful life out in the river. It's a beautiful life in that river. Just going with the flow, where he's going to take you. You know, when I jumped in that river years ago, I never dreamed he would take me and show me some of the things that I've seen today. But I would never have been able to witness those things or experience those things if I would have stayed on the bank. We've got to get into the river. Amen. Let's pray.